you're listening to a special edition of Cult Genero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Cult Genero Chat is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob joins on this special edition, this unplanned edition of the program, to discuss the Vitolo saga, which took a massive turn on Monday as the player agreed to a new contract with the Andalusian side, meaning he will not join Atletico. He will not join Atletico this summer, as had been anticipated, as was reported all over Spain. Vitolo will stay at Sevilla. We talk about what kind of a blow this is for Atletico, what the problems are at boardroom level, and where Atletico go from here, especially how this impacts the other potential signing of the summer, Diego Costa. Before we get started, I'd like to remind our listeners that you can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can follow us on Twitter at Into the Calderon, and you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Cult Genero Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. We'll be right back after this. You and I have talked about how this was always kind of unlikely. This kind of arrangement was so creative and so close to breaking the rules and like bending them as far as they can go that it always was kind of unlikely that it would actually get out of the line.
Yeah, I thought that probably the problem was going to come with them breaking some kind of regulation by doing it, but...
But then you have all the reports from the past 6-8 weeks saying Atletico are going to get this done, Las Palmas are going to get this done, Vitolo is going to join Atletico in January, and then now today, like within the last 3 hours, we have seen, oh, Vitolo is going to renew his contract. Vitolo has renewed his contract, it's official.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of them leaking stuff to the press, and the Las Palmas guy leaking stuff to the press as well that probably messed it up in some way as well.
Yeah, so going all the way back to June 6th, SCR said this was going to get done, that he was going to go to Las Palmas on some kind of loan move, then he would join Atletico, and that kind of became the line for the next several weeks. A week and a half ago, I think it was, about 10 days ago, the Madrid papers were all in on this, you know, saying it was going to happen. Las Palmas, as you said, Las Palmas's president and sporting director came out and spoke about the deal, which, looking back, really, really hurt Atletico's position, because those two were so talkative about it. I mean, they were excited, because how often does it happen that a club like Las Palmas brings back not only one of their own, but they bring back a guy who's become a legitimate star? Like, I can get their excitement, but they completely destroyed Atletico's negotiating position.
Yeah, exactly. And they're understandably excited, too. They're going to get him for free, so, yeah. You know, for 6 months, but even still.
But you don't freaking talk about it.
Right.
Are these guys new to negotiating? That you don't talk about it and weaken your team's position. You do not weaken your side's position, which is exactly what they did.
Yeah, they screwed themselves in this one, because they were going to... That would have really helped their team for next year, but, you know...
Yeah, and they need it, because they've already...
He had to just blab about it, I guess. Probably helped his position as president or whatever he is.
I mean, this probably hurts Las Palmas arguably more than it hurts Atletico, because Las Palmas have been, like, this raging dumpster fire for several months. They just lost Rocky Mesa on a cut-price deal. They have a new manager because Quique Setién couldn't agree a new contract. This is really bad news for Las Palmas, who were expecting, you know, this is going to be fine, he's going to help us get safety in the first few months, and we'll get another year in Primera, which is great for them. But now it's different, because they had to go out and talk about it. But that's not saying anything about Atletico, who really are to blame for this not getting over the line. You're going to hear that from the Atletico side. You're going to hear things filtering out like, oh, Vitolo changed his mind. Vitolo reconsidered. This is all down to the player. This is all down to Sevilla kind of snaking their way in and giving him a new contract. But do you really think that's the case?
No, not really. I think Atletico just kind of dithered a little bit on it and couldn't get all the details worked out fast enough.
Yeah, it's not like they were racing against the clock here, although maybe they should have been.
Considering how long this deal took. Yeah, it was weird.
And Vitolo just got tired of waiting.
Yeah, Yeah, and he knew that he was in. He's a very important player at Sevilla, and he maybe wouldn't have been such an important player at Atletico. And I don't know. It's such a weird situation with the transfer ban and how bootleg this transfer was going to be altogether.
So yeah, I mean, for my money, I didn't really actually start thinking it was going to happen until like last week, because it was always just so strange what Atletico were planning to do. We never even found out how Las Palmas were going to get him to Atletico. We didn't even get that far in it. And, you know, the deal was supposedly so far down the line that it was going to happen this week. Las Palmas were going to introduce him on Thursday.
Yeah, they just couldn't get this thing over the line. It's very strange. I don't know exactly. I'm sure there's some part of the story that meant that Vitolo decided just to stay at Sevilla, but it's, I don't know what it ended up being.
I mean, we don't know, but kind of just assuming or maybe even speculating, like, it's a very complex deal that Atletico and Las Palmas were negotiating. They didn't really bring Sevilla into the fold. They just said, oh, Sevilla, we'll pay them the buyout clause. They won't mind. Sevilla, to their credit, refused to negotiate. Sevilla, to their credit, really, you know, stuck to their guns and said, we're not going to sell them unless you pay up. And Atletico didn't pay up. And they had been talking about this deal for more than 6 weeks. Simeone has wanted Vitolo. He's wanted him for 4 years. He's tried three separate times to get Vitolo. In 2013, the year before Atletico won La Liga, the summer before the season in which Atletico won La Liga, last summer, when at the end of August a deal collapsed, Vitolo renewed, and this summer, when a deal didn't make it to August, and Vitolo renewed again.
Yeah, this is clearly mainly a signing that Simeone really wanted to be done, and I'm sure it'll piss him off immensely that it didn't. And I just wonder if the Atletico board were kind of less convinced about it, and that's why they dithered on it more than they should have, and why it ended up slipping away from him again, because it was a Simeone want rather than something that they wanted to do themselves.
Dude, if Simeone wanted a mansion, Atletico would give him a modest 2-bed, 1-bathroom apartment. That's just it. This is not the first time. And kind of moving toward the Atletico side of things now, this is not the first time that Atletico's board has failed him. Not even this summer.
No, definitely not. God forbid this Diego Costa thing doesn't get over the line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't even get me started. Cholo will have quite the fit. And I wouldn't blame him. Like, you want to negotiate a renewal with this guy. You want to extend his contract back to 2020. Because it was originally in 2020. It was reduced last year. And you want to re-extend Simeone's contract to 2020. How on earth are you going to convince him to do that when you can't bring in his targets?
Right, exactly. And Diego Costa, I would say, is probably the more important of the two between him and Vitolo. But if you can't get either of them, even considering the transfer ban, that's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, Costa is... I agree with you. I think Costa is the more important one to get over the line. Vitolo would have been a great addition, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Vitolo would bring pace, incredible versatility, good passer, good dribbler, the occasional eye for goal. He would bring a lot and stabilize the wing opposite Yannick Carrasco, which was, as we know, we talked about it several times, a black hole last season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not that we really want to bring him up, but he is sort of the Arda Turan mold of what Simeone wants from that right side of his team.
And it's someone that Simeone hasn't had since, well, at least the good Arda Turan. Arda Turan's last season at Atletico was very poor. But he hasn't had anyone to fill that role since Arda left. And it's not going to be Vitolo. It's not going to be him now.
Yeah, and it's probably going to end up being Koke at this point.
Great. So, Sevilla have... Vitolo was renewed with Sevilla. It's a contract to 2022. His buyout clause goes up to $50 million, which, in this market, he's probably worth. But it seems like it's a move that is designed, you know... It's not a move that they're just going to bump up the cost to get more money for him. This is a move that shows Vitolo is committed to Sevilla. He's going to stay at Sevilla. And it's unfortunate for Atleti, but it's a mess of their own making.
Yeah, it is, and I think he's 27, he'll turn 28 in this coming season, so he may be running out of time to move to a club that is better than Sevilla at this point, because Atletico was certainly his chance to do that.
I mean, if you were in Vitolo's position, would you want to move to Atletico, who are a bigger club, who routinely go deep into the Champions League, always, you know, have been in the top three? Would you want to move to Atletico, who are in a transfer ban, who are under a transfer ban and can't get their ducks in a row? Or would you rather stay at Sevilla, who, you know, bought you 7 years ago, who have helped you develop? Which would you choose?
I mean, I think it depends a lot on the player, really. Because you think Vitolo is somewhat... Is he their captain or vice-captain, something like that? I think he's the captain now since Ivora left. Yeah.
That also means something.
Yeah, it does, exactly. So I think that'll probably would encourage him to stay. He's their third captain, okay. But, yeah, I don't know. I think... In terms of, like, achievement, you look at Sevilla last year. They went out to Leicester in the round of 16. They lost in Pali this summer. That's another big deal for them. I did wonder how much that would play in terms of their players leaving this summer. But we'll see.
I mean, from
they got Celta's coach, of course. But
yeah, Barrizo. Yeah, but from Sevilla's standpoint, this is a big statement. To be able to keep him away from Atletico again, that's huge.
Right.
And give him a nice big new contract. He's going to be kind of regarded as an icon there now that he is again, like, reaffirmed his commitment in the face of Atletico's, like, intense interest. Like, the failure to get him, not just this summer, but also last summer and, you know, 4 years ago. Like, this is three times Atletico have failed to bring him in.
Yeah, this summer is probably the most difficult of the three that they failed to bring him in because of the transfer ban and the bootleg way they were trying to do it.
But, yeah.
I mean, you know, even still.
Again, it never seemed likely that it was going to happen. And the more time it took, even though Vitolo was set to be presented this week, the more time it took, the less, you know, you kind of thought, okay, when are they going to get this deal done? Isn't Vitolo just going to get tired of waiting? I mean, yeah, he's interested in going to Las Palmas, and he was supposedly interested in going to Atletico, but Sevilla offer more stability. They offer more guarantees than Atletico and Las Palmas did.
Right. Exactly.
So, the blame is not...
He'll definitely play more.
Yeah.
I would say.
I mean, the blame is not really with the player here, I don't think. I think the blame lies a lot more at the two clubs. We talked about Las Palmas and how they jumped the gun and how they probably unnecessarily hurt Atletico's and their own bargaining position. They basically sabotaged their own deal, for God's sake. But Atletico...
Yeah, that was super weird. And Atletico were also very publicly with how pissed they were about them talking about it, which kind of shows how deeply it hurt their bargaining position.
But even then, it wasn't really expected to change the deal, which is why this is so kind of surprising that it all turned around in the span of, you know, about 2-3 hours. Something Atletico had been working on for two or more than 2 months, back into last year, it all turned around in about, you know, 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I mentioned earlier, this is not the first time this summer that Atletico have been... that Simeone has kind of been screwed over by the ban and by his own board. Sandro had a medical. He was a step away from joining Atletico. He ends up going to Everton. He's tired of waiting for Atletico. He goes to Everton. Which, I mean, I wasn't too heartbroken about Sandro, because I think Atletico have a lot of players similar to his profile, like Gamero, Correa, Griezmann, etc. But he was cheap, and he was really good. So Sandro goes to Everton. Lacazette says it's, you know, the club of his dreams is to sign for Atletico. The ban comes down. He gets tired of waiting. Lyon gets tired of waiting. He ends up going to Arsenal and, you know, a record deal for that club. Now you have Vitolo, who had been a long-term target, who, you know, this was the summer to get him, even under transfer ban. You had a deal worked out. It was just about agreed, but just about doesn't mean it's fully agreed. This is why we can't get too excited about transfers unless the player is holding up the damn shirt. Because right, you just never know what's going to happen. You never know what twists and turns it'll take unless you get the deal done. Like, or didn't get the deal done.
Well, and of the three, of Sandro, Lacazette, and Vitolo was certainly the most needed and probably would be the most useful one to Atletico's squad next season. Without a doubt. Because the other two, as you say, similar profile to the strikers Atleti already have.
Yeah, and as much as I like Lacazette, I just wasn't convinced on him because of his, you know, his size, his frame, his abilities. He's very talented, but again, just kind of a kind of a retread of what Atletico already have. And he also had the back injuries a couple of years ago, which kind of are scary.
Yeah, and so that's why it's important that Atletico do end up getting the Diego Costa thing done.
Yeah.
Because he is a totally, totally different striker to all the ones they've been pursuing. And we know how successful he can be at Atletico. And with Griezmann, if that partnership works out with Costa and Griezmann, that would just be heavenly.
But based on the inability to get Vitolo done, I mean, can we say with any kind of confidence that Atletico can get this done this week? Can get Costa done this week, or maybe
at all? Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's encouraging that he didn't go to Singapore with Chelsea, but then that's also like, well, we've known that he wants to leave there forever, and Atletico and Chelsea are really far away in terms of price still. So we know he wants to sit on the bench for 6 months, or wouldn't mind sitting on the bench for 6 months while they wait for the transfer ban to end. It's like, well, what are you waiting for? He's Diego Costa. I know they're asking for too much money, but eventually you have to increase what you're willing to pay for him.
Yeah. With the Costa situation, I wrote about it this morning. He has been told to stay away from Chelsea training, which they went back to training today, Monday. They're leaving for Singapore next week, and it's expected, well, I wouldn't say expected, but it's anticipated, I suppose. It's anticipated that Atletico and Chelsea are going to get a deal done for him this week. The fact that Chelsea have told him to stay away from training is, yeah, I think it's a good sign. It's a step that never was taken last summer. Costa went to training. Costa played in preseason. And by the end of July, Atletico had abandoned hope of getting him, went and signed Kevin Gamero instead. This summer, it's different because Antonio Conte kind of sabotaged his plans to keep the player by texting him a breakup message. And that relationship is beyond repair. Costa is in Brazil just hanging out and waiting for, I guess, developments of this deal to get done. Atletico and Chelsea are still pretty far away on the price, but Chelsea are showing an urgency and a willingness to negotiate because Atletico and Costa have the leverage. Chelsea don't.
Yeah, and Chelsea are also a bit stressed out, I think, because Lukaku bailed on them to go to United, and now they need to sign a striker very badly.
Well, yeah, and Lukaku leaving, well, not leaving, but Lukaku going to United instead of Chelsea. Thanks, Mino Raiola. Thank you. And
yeah, gee, thanks.
Yeah, so now they want Morata or Belotti. They're probably going to get Morata, but the longer this delay could actually kind of work out for Atletico, because the longer Atletico and Chelsea, you know, wait to get this done, the more Costa's price drops, the more likely it is that Chelsea can actually sign a replacement.
Right, exactly. And they really need one, because I think Conte's getting antsy, their fans are antsy about them having no signings and missing out on Lukaku so far, and there's rumors that the Bakayoko thing is gonna fall through because of the medical he failed, and yeah, it's not looking great.
God, transfers are fun, aren't they?
Oh, it's so much fun. All the whispers and stuff that's all half true.
But then again, I can also imagine that, you know, Atleti and Chelsea don't get this done, and Costa is still a Chelsea player next week, and Conte has to place a call asking him to come to Singapore. Like, I can see that happening now. I, right now, have no confidence in Atletico's board to get anything over the line. And yes, being under a registration ban is tough. It makes things harder. It's supposed to make things harder. It's why you shouldn't break the rules. It's why you shouldn't make 26 severe infractions of FIFA's regulations on youth signings. This is exactly why you shouldn't do that. But the deal for Vitolo, it was almost done. It was days from getting done. But days weren't good enough. Vitolo wanted the move. He didn't get the move. He re-signed with Sevilla, which is a more stable situation for him. Costa is, we're hearing the same things, that it's almost done. You know, in a matter of days, matter of hours is what, you know, has been said as well. But it's not done yet. And until it's done, we can't really get too excited.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is reality under a transfer ban and under and Atletico especially, the inability to get Simeone's targets year in, year out, it has to weigh on him.
Yeah, and Chelsea are notoriously difficult to negotiate with anyway, so, you know, both of them needs to stop playing around with this one because it's just going to hurt both of them in the long run.
Yep, everyone wants that deal done. It needs to get done. And yep. Not next week, not by the end of July. Atletico fans need something to soothe these frayed nerves. Losing Vitolo is a big blow. Having him, you know, escape for like a third summer in 5 years is a major blow. An inability to get Kostic is going to be a hammer blow.
Yeah, exactly. And then, well, on the bright side, hey, they now have the money they were going to give Vitolo to buy out his contract, so just plug that into the Costa deal, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's an extra $40 million back into the coffers.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, they had agreed to pay the buyout. Why not just pay it? Why wait? Pay it.
Yeah, exactly. You have the money. Las Palmas were probably like drooling, thinking that they were going to get Vitolo.
And I don't hate on Las Palmas. You know, I get that they were excited, but again, you just can't say stuff like that in public.
Right. Especially at the transfer market, and when you're kind of essentially going behind Sevilla's back, that was the part that always seemed kind of a bit strange to me. That Sevilla were just going to be cool with him handing them €40 million and be like, oh, okay, see y'all later.
Yeah, it
seems a little weird.
I mean, we weren't privy to the inside, you know, deal. You know, we weren't to the inside of the, you know, negotiating, but it didn't seem like Sevilla were consulted very often. It seemed like Atletico and Las Palmas did a lot of the talking, and Sevilla did a lot of the, hey guys, hello, we actually have the player that you want. Yeah, come talk to us. It seemed right. Like there was a lot of that.
Yeah, it was a weird deal altogether, and, you know, I'm not totally surprised that it fell through. It just fell through in the way that I didn't totally expect it to, I guess. I thought it was going to be more of a breaking the rules thing.
In other words, it fell through in the only way Atletico could make it fall through, because this is just Atletico. We know this.
Dragging their feet.
This is just...
It's not getting it done.
It was a certainty, and then all of a sudden it was gone. This is just how things happen at Atletico.
Yep, pretty much.
So with Vitolo, with Vitolo off the table, where do Atleti go from here? Obviously, can't make a signing. Where do Atleti go in terms of internal options? Who is the new winger opposite Carrasco? Who's going to be that guy now?
That's a great question. Are they going to find that there's some way for them to either sign him now or that he'll be available in January? So it seems unlikely there'll be someone that's at a big club right now.
I think we can rule out the wait until January thing, because that's clearly not working here.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we can rule that out. It's going to have to be an internal option, I think.
Probably. It's going to be Koke.
I mean, Koke. Probably. It's probably going to be more of Koke and with Saul and Gabby in the middle, and then Carrasco on the other wing, or... which is basically, you know, a 4-3-3 because Carrasco plays so advanced.
Nico Gaitan! Yay!
Yay! you should see the look on my face as I'm just staring at my computer.
I can imagine.
Listening to you say Nico Gaitan for starter.
I think it's the look that most people have on their face when they actually watch Nico Gaitan play.
other than Koke. Yep. Other than Koke. Yeah.
That guy.
Other than Koke, maybe Correa. I think Correa may be more likely than Gaitan. I mean, Correa is probably going to get more playing time, although we said that last season. Now with Vitolo off the table, not really. To me, there aren't really very many other options. Diogo Jota, if he doesn't go back on loan, we'll probably see some time out there. But yeah, without Vitolo and without anyone else really reliable in the team, it's probably going to be Koke.
Yeah. I'd like to see what Jota could do, provided he sticks around. I guess Atletico can't loan him if they're not allowed to, but, you know, who really knows at this point, honestly, what the inner workings of that situation are. But, yeah, I would like to see Jota because he did fantastically well at Porto last year, who are a big club in his home country, and he looked really good from the limited things that I saw, so I'd like to see what he could do in La Liga. Granted, Gaitan looked good in Portugal too, but still.
Yeah, so did Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked amazing.
Yeah. So that's, you know, the bit of trepidation or hesitation on Hota, as much as I like him.
But I guess the only difference is he's a good bit younger, and, you know, you're not just banking on some kind of older guy like Jackson and Gaetan are and were banging in the goals in Portugal.
Yep. So, the drama, it never ends. It really never ends. Even under a registration ban, Atletico and drama, they just go hand in hand.
Yeah, we're always going to have some drama. And Griezmann fired his agent, so, you know, that was interesting.
Speaking of drama, Yeah, that guy's a one-man drama machine.
Yeah. You know, there was like 3 seconds where I thought, oh, well, since he's staying for another year and we know he's going to leave at the end of next year, he probably won't be talking about where he's going to go next year. Nope. That's definitely not going to happen. That's a pipe dream.
As with many things at Atletico, it's just a pipe dream.
Yeah, basically.
You have summed it up very well, Rob. Thank you for joining me on this emergency Colchonero chat.
Yeah, that's... we'll be back when old Diego shows up.
Yeah.
If he ever does.
This was not an intended Colchonero chat. This literally came together in about 5 minutes today. So, Rob, thank you again for so generously donating your time to help talk about the farce that was the Vitolo transfer.
Always a pleasure.
Thursday, I will be back with Renato Gonçalves of Barca Blaugranes. We're going to have a great, great pod on Thursday. So do tune in then, and we'll catch you then. Adios.